Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk. Tonight we got a good one. It's the end of year, so we're handing out awards tonight. Me and my man Keys came up with a couple categories, and we're gonna have some fun with it tonight. Normally we do, when we do our end of year, we do Fight of the Year, Newcomer of the Year, you know, stuff like that. But this year we decided to switch it up. Tonight we're going to be talking about, you know, let me see. Categories, we got Fight of the Year, Best Overall Moment of the Year, Champion of the Year, Biggest Upset of the Year, and Fighter of the Year. So we're going to have some fun, man. When Keys sent me the subjects last night, I was like, yo, I'm going to have to do some homework on this one. So, but, you know, these shows are always fun. Sit back and reflect on the year that was, you know, going into the year that's going to be. But before we go any further, let me introduce my co-host. What's up, Keys? How you doing, bro?
What's up, man? I'm good, bro. I'm excited. I hope your holiday was good. Christmas was good. I'm excited, bro. Let's get into it. Year-end award show is always very fun, so I'm looking forward to it. Let's rock.
Yeah, man. Before we get into it, I just want to say something real quick. I know this time of year is real stressful to a lot of people. Hey, during this time of year, if you feel yourself being overwhelmed, just take a step back, you know, have a deep breath, sit back, calm down, and let things pass. Do not hold it all in. Talk to somebody. I understand that this time of year can be hard on certain people at this time of year. When I was overseas in my 20s, normally it was just me and my wife overseas away from our family. And I know those 4 years in Germany were really, really hard. Just me and her struggling, you know, going through it. And we were just going through it by ourselves. But we did have people that we could talk to. We used those people, you know, those people overseas that was in the same boat as us. So just during this time of year, take care of yourselves. Don't let things get too overwhelming. And if they do, reach out to somebody and talk to somebody. You know, I just wanted to say that tonight. I also want to say rest in peace to John Madden. And now me and Keys can get into the show. Bro, how was your holidays, bro?
It was good, man. It was good. I mean, bounced around, saw some family, had probably a few too many drinks, but hey, probably a few too many drinks with the family and some friends. But you know, hey, all in the spirit of the holiday season and being around your loved ones. You know what I mean? It was a toast, so it was good, man. It was good. I hope yours was good too.
Yeah, man, it was cool, man. You know, got to see my grandkids run around. The weather was actually nice. It was like 60 some degrees out here, so they was able to go outside and ride on their little scooters and stuff like that. So yeah, it was fun, man. Getting ready for New Year's, and then of course my birthday is January 21st. You know, I'm going to see Eddie Griffin on my birthday. He's going to be out here performing. So, you know, man, it's all good. But look, man, you came up with it, and I'm definitely excited about it doing this show, man. So let's jump into it, man. First category, off the rip, what was your fight of the year, bro?
So I'm going to go like this. Excuse me. I'm going to go like this. So off the bat, when you say fight of the year, I come down to probably one, two, there's probably like three fights that come to mind. But when you really come down to it, there's the one that is in front of probably all of those, I got to go with one we just recently saw, and I don't know if it's Q3, Q4, we just saw it a couple months ago, Volkanovski and Ortega. That fight to me was, even though Volkanovski definitely got the best of Ortega, definitely outclassed Ortega. I still feel like it was a good back-and-forth fight, and overall, Ortega had some great moments in the fight, some very close moments. You know, he had a few moments where he was about to take the belt off Volkanovski. You know, he had a couple of submission attempts that, I mean, Volkanovski said himself, those were, there was like one or two of those that were really tight, you know, and he said he was thinking to himself that, you know, I'm really about to lose the belt. Like, I'm about to lose, you know, this opportunity for my family and all this. He was starting to have those thoughts, you know, while he was in the choke. You know, he thought it was over, but, you know, obviously he ended up winning the fight. But overall, yeah, I just thought that event was so – that event was so good, and then that fight really capped off that event so well, and that was probably that title fight really left me with a smile on my face. I was just like, wow, that's what the UFC is about right there. You really get a mix of styles. You get a little bit of everything in the fight, and it was just a great back-and-forth title fight, and that's probably, like I said, when you say fight of the year, that is the first fight that pops up in my head, so I can't span away from it.
That's funny because that was in my top two fights also, and I remember that fight. I want to say when T-City locked in that triangle choke, I just had a feeling that Volkanovski would, I was like, man, ain't no way he getting out of this. But, you know, he dug deep, he got out of the triangle choke, and then in the very next round, Ortega managed to get him in an anaconda choke, and he managed to get out of that. But I think that fight, I want to say, I think me and you talked about it the next week, and I thought that fight could have been stopped in the fourth round due to how much damage T-City was taking. I want to say his eye was swollen up, maybe even closed. The doctor came in, and, you know, they okayed on the fight. And I was just like, man, this guy, man. Oh, man. I was just like, man, I would have stopped it. But, hey, T-City showed why he's a tough guy, why he was deserving of the title shot. But the fight I'm going to go with is a fight that I think a lot of people kind of slept on because of the next fight this guy had. And people thought that could have been the fight of the year. I'm going with Charles Oliveira versus Michael Chandler, man. The importance of the fight, it was a title fight, being that Khabib had just relinquished the lightweight title due to his retirement. And me and you was talking about, hey, man, I think they should do a tournament. And then lo and behold, they announced that they was going to have Charles Oliveira take on Michael Chandler. And the first round, Chandler was putting it on Oliveira, man. I didn't think Oliveira would survive the first round. Chandler actually even caught him in a guillotine choke. And I was like, whoa, Chandler going for a submission on a submission master? So that was like, I was like, wow. But one of my things with Chandler has always been, what does he do after the first round? And this has proven out that he doesn't respond well in fights after the first round. So, you know, when it came to the second round, you know, actually at the end of the first round, Oliveira started to find himself. And he went on an attack. And, you know, I was like, okay, all right, Oliveira's back. In the second round, man, Oliveira turned it around, man, and he hit Chandler, I want to say, with a left hook. Chandler tried to get back up, but Oliveira just kept coming and coming. And then all of a sudden, you know, it was stopped. I want to say about 20 seconds into the second round. And I got that as being my fight of the year because of the magnitude of the fight. We was finally getting a lightweight champion. And it's a guy that me and you have been kind of politicking for this year in 2021. Oliveira has definitely improved his game. He's not just considered a submission specialist anymore. Now he got hands to match. And I had that as my fight of the year, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely fair game. You know, fair play to that. I mean, that was a solid fight. You know, Oliveira. I mean, I have a feeling this won't be the last time he gets brought up during the show. I have a feeling there'll be a few more times, but you know, we'll get to it. And Oliveira just, you know, that's that type of, you know, in that fight, you see the type of, you know, championship mentality that he has. And that was a similar case with the Volkanovski Ortega fight. It was like, you know, you saw moments of, you know, real adversity for both those guys in those fights. I mean, in the first round, I was like, oh man, Chandler's about to just break him in the first. Like, I thought Chandler's about to get the belt in one round. I was like, we are really about to say that Chandler fought two rounds in the UFC and is already the champion. Like, that would have just been unbelievable. Like, if he had fought one round versus Dan Hooker, not even a round, and then one round versus, that just would have been crazy. But, you know, it didn't happen, and that, you know, true adversity. You saw Oliveira come back from that, and, you know, and then there's a parallel to, you know, the Volkanovski-Ortega fight. Ortega almost had Volkanovski out of there. He was almost a world champion, but you saw Volkanovski fight through that situation. Look how he held on in that choke, you know what I mean? And look how Oliveira, you know, Oliveira knew he was hurt. He knew, you know, his corner definitely knew that they were in a bad, you know, in a bad position, you know, going into that second round. You know what I'm saying? They definitely, you know, he probably went back to his corner and they had to put their game face on. You know, I know they probably were like, okay, we gotta find shelter and not, you know, he might come out there a little bit more fatigued in the second round, but even if he does, we got to be careful of these power shots. You know, they had to have said something like that because Oliveira's chin was probably already compromised going into that second round. And but either way, yeah, definitely, I like that pick, bro. I like that pick a lot.
And then I did like a little bit of research today, and I was looking up like what other fights had as the fight of the year, and most of the sites, I want to say, had Justin Gaethje versus Michael Chandler as their fight of the year. When that fight first happened, I was like, man, this fight could be fight of the year. But when you really sit back and watch that fight was really one-sided. It was really like one-sided. I mean, some people would say Volkanovski versus Ortega was one-sided, but it was a five-round fight. So, I mean, Chandler and Gaethje was, what, three rounds? I want to say they was three rounds, right? Were they three rounds or five rounds?
Yeah, that was a three-round fight.
Yeah, I think that was a three-round fight. So, yeah. A lot of fights had that as their fight of the year. If I recall correctly, I think Gaethje really dominated Chandler in that fight, to be honest. Chandler may have won, round three, maybe round four. Because I know I had basically Gaethje winning rounds one, two, maybe three. I think Chandler maybe four, and then I think I had Gaethje winning round five. So
I think we're mixing up a three-round fight and a five-round fight.
Yeah,
and you think about the Volkanovski Ortega. So,
yeah,
they were a three-round. So Chandler and Gaethje was a three-round fight, I know how I had it. I feel like it was very clear the rounds in that fight. I had round one for Chandler, and I feel like he was, you know, visibly out of the fight. You know, beginning of the second round, he was out of the fight.
That's right. You could just tell the
fatigue like set in right after that first round. You know, I don't know if he was planning to just blitz Gaethje in the first round and just figure that that was what that fight was going to be. But, I mean, second and third round, I feel like was all Justin Gaethje. And I had it 2-1, you know, for Gaethje. Very clear, unanimous decision. And,
yeah,
I don't really understand why that's such a favorite for fight of the year, to be honest. I definitely disagree with that. That was not and to say, I don't think it's even comparable to saying Volkanovski Ortega wasn't a that was a good back and forth. Ortega was was right there striking with Volkanovski. It wasn't like I wouldn't really say it was too similar to the Holloway fight where Holloway was battering Ortega, you know, he was battering him so badly that he literally had to hold his hands up to, like, help him defend himself from Holloway. Like, I don't think it was that bad of a beating where it was like that. I feel like it was actually a better back and forth on the feet, but you could just see that Volkanovski had more of the total package as far as the striking. I want to say Volkanovski was using his leg kicks in that fight as well, and that was, you know, the way he was mixing it up with his boxing was just really it was confusing for Ortega. But when you compare that to Chandler and Gaethje, I mean, what did Chandler have, like a flash moment where we thought he could have won the fight, and then that was it? After the first round, he looked like he was completely out of it. I wouldn't say the same thing for Volkanovski Ortega. I mean, Ortega had multiple moments where he had, you know, submissions locked in tight, and we thought he was about to be the world champion. So I'd say probably not until, like, the championship rounds could we really say that Ortega was, like, completely out of the fight, you know what I'm saying? As where Chandler and Gaethje, I feel like Chandler was visibly out of the fight in the very beginning of the second round. So I really don't see how that is fight of the year on so many people's scorecards, to be honest.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Gaethje, actually, Gaethje clipped him at the end of the first round. And I think the bell may have saved Chandler at the end of the first round. And then basically Gaethje owned the rest of the fight. He dominated the rest of the fight with leg kicks and his punches. I mean, Chandler showed heart, but Gaethje really dominated him. So I totally agree. But let's move on, man. Next category, best overall moment of 2021. I think I'm going to go first on this one, Keith. This was kind of sentimental for me. Because, you know, and 2020 was a rough year, especially for us being fans of sports. And I'm going to go with May 1st, man, UFC 261. First UFC event with fans and that was sold out with 15,000 fans in attendance. The pay-per-view was headlined by Kamaru Usman and Jorge Masvidal fighting for the welterweight title. I want to say that when it was announced that the tickets had sold out within, I want to say, 2 hours of the event being announced, it was just a sight to see, man, that, you know, the UFC was back. Well, the UFC was back in front of a live crowd. It was in Jacksonville, which also became like which was the first arena to hold a sporting event after COVID. But Jacksonville was also, the last place the UFC had a live event prior to the pandemic. So my best moment was fans coming back, man, at UFC 261. What was your best overall moment for 2021?
I mean, I just want to say off top, like, I respect that so much, you know. You know, that's definitely an incredible moment. And just looking like from a human perspective and a fan perspective and just the UFC as a business perspective, I mean, me personally, and I believe you feel this way too, you know, we usually say that, you know, we take pride in buying the UFC pay-per-views, you know. I know we both will go out to a bar, you know, here and there, and we'll watch it at a bar. But when you think about it, the bars also pay for the pay-per-view to have it on their TVs. So we always take pride in supporting the pay-per-views because we want to support the UFC as a business. You know, so that's why, I mean, me personally, at least that's why I don't like to stream the cards. And the live gate is a big part of that as well. You know, the live gate, you know, to be able to see the business thrive. I mean, for a while we saw you know, Dana White at every post-fight presser telling, you know, the media that the live gate was zero in attendance, which, you know, that's, we all knew that because you couldn't have any fans there. But, you know, it was kind of disappointing every time hearing that. It was kind of funny because he's still saying, oh, zero, we know there was no fans, but he still would make a point to state that every time. But, you know, it was disappointing too because obviously we want to see fans back and, you know, I want to see – I know what it's like too, and then you know what it's like as well too. You know, we've been at a UFC event. You know, we've been in the arena live. We know how amazing, you know, that experience is to see the UFC live. And we just want to see the business do well and see it up and thriving. You know, the sport's getting bigger, and I just think it's only going to get even bigger and better. And, you know, I loved seeing them come back on that May card with, you know, the Usman-Masvidal rematch. You know, with, I think there were 3 title fights on that card. I loved seeing them come back with such a, you know, high-profile card. And, you know, they sold out, I think, in minutes. And, it did tons of pay-per-views and all that. That was so great to see that. You know, I loved seeing that for the UFC and for the sport and for the fans. That was an incredible moment. So I respect your answer a lot. I will say my favorite moment of the year, I would say the favorite, man. I mean, so I'll say 2 things. My personal favorite moment of the year was, I'll say there's 2 sides of it. My personal favorite moment was seeing Brandon Moreno finally win a flyweight belt. That was my favorite moment, right? I just loved seeing him win the belt. I thought that was incredible. He deserved it. I have my eye on him. I was watching him, you know, Kai Kara France, another guy who's, you know, working his way up to the, you know, he's in title contention now, but those are 2 guys at flyweight that, you know, I've been having my eye on them for a couple of years and saying that, you know, these dudes are going to be at the top, and I really like these dudes' style. So it was really cool to see a guy like that. Moreno's so humble and so respectful. You know, he loves the sport. You know, you never hear him say a bad thing about any fighter. You know, he's very humble, very nice guy. And it was just so great to see him win that, because I felt like he won the first fight. You know what I'm saying? So that was my favorite moment. But as far as the we'll hold it with that. That was my favorite moment.
Yeah, because you've been on Brandon Moreno for a while. You've been telling us, keep your eye on Brandon Moreno. Keep your eye on Brandon Moreno. I want to say you've been telling us about Brandon Moreno since Henry Cejudo basically left the sport. And I know that the first fight, me and you were both disappointed that it was a draw. Then the second fight, to me, the second fight just showed that Brandon Moreno hasn't lost to Figueiredo since they fought. And that brings us to the third fight that's about to happen. And I tweeted out the other day, the UFC is finally giving Figueiredo a chance to finally beat Moreno, because I know I have it 0-2 in favor of Brandon Moreno. But, yeah, man, that was a good night for him. I got to correct myself. The fans came back April 24th at UFC 261, not May 1st. But, yeah, man, shouts out to Brandon Moreno. Me and Keys are watching. We want to see what you do. And your third fight with Figueiredo, hopefully this will be the third and last time we see this fight. But if Figueiredo wins, do we get a 4 fight, Keys? Oh my God, get a 4 fight. We're gonna get a 4 fight.
I don't know about that one. I mean, they had a draw. Yeah, they had a draw, and I mean, me personally, Moreno beat him in the first fight, so I don't really know how we even say that they're one apiece. They're not even one apiece. I mean, it wasn't even a draw, so I don't even really know how we even got that to a draw. You know, I thought Figueiredo won round 1, and then Moreno beat him 2, 3, 4, and 5 in that fight. So I don't even understand how we even came to a draw with that fight. I was actually shocked when that was a draw. I was completely lost with how they came to that. I want to say it was like maybe there was a point deduction that Moreno had. Like, I think he might have had a low kick
that
or
third
something.
Round.
And maybe,
that third
yeah,
round.
Maybe, yeah, I think maybe he had that, and then he lost the point. So then the round might have been a 9-9 round. And then maybe they scored, like, maybe round two for Figueiredo, and then they scored 4 and 5. So maybe that – I guess if that's what someone wants to say, you know, you could have it 2-2, and then, you know, that third round, if you want to say, was the 9-9, then, you know, I guess I could see how you had a draw that way. But overall, I mean, I just thought Moreno looked a lot better than him. And then that was why it was my favorite moment, because in the second fight, he just showed how much better he is. I mean, he really just showed that he's a much better fighter than him, and he pretty much dominated him in the second fight. Like, and then, you know, it became one of those things where, you know, you have Figueiredo coming out and, you know, unfortunately making excuses for why he lost and saying that, you know, he didn't feel right and, you know, whatever he was saying. And it's like, man, you got beat up. Like, you know, Moreno outclassed you very badly. You know, and the better fighter won. That's what happened. You know, the better fighter won the first fight too, but, you know, you got lucky with, you know, having that 9-9 round, you know, or else he probably was up 10-9, and, well, I believe he was up 10-9 in the third round, so he would have had rounds 3, 4, and 5 if, you know, the scorecards were being honest. You know, he would have won that 3 rounds to 2. So, you know, he was lucky to even have that. So,
because I feel the same way. I thought Figueiredo, luckily, I mean, round one, I gave to Figueiredo. I gave Moreno's 2, 3, and 4. I thought Moreno kind of let his foot off the gas in the fifth round. So me with Figueiredo, I wouldn't have cried if somebody gave Figueiredo rounds 5. But for that third round to be a 9-9 round, even with a point deduction, that's just crappy judging to me, because you are looking to give a guy a way out by giving him a tie round. Even when you look at the third round, he still didn't deserve it. He still didn't do enough to win the round. So, hey, but that's neither here nor there, man. Figueiredo ended up coming back and winning and dominating faster in the second fight. So, third fight is coming up early in 2022, and we'll see what happens. All right, bro, what was your biggest upset of 2021?
This one's easy. I got to go with Juliana Pena beating Nunes. That just happened, and, you know, some might say, okay, you think that because it's, you know, it was recent, but that's really not true because it has nothing to do with that. She was literally, look at the odds for that fight going into it. You know, I want to say she was like a plus 10,000 or something. It was something crazy. There was nobody, and we didn't even, me and you didn't even pick her to win. We picked Nunes to win, but when the fight came and I was, you know, I ordered the fight on ESPN Plus. I, you know, had a friend over and we were watching the fight, you know, having some drinks, having some food, you know, have a little fight party. And, you know, I was rooting for Pena. You know, I picked Nunes, you know, with my logic, but my heart was like, yo, I would like to see Pena win this, man. I would really like to see that. I mean, that's how I saw it the day of the fight, and it was just one of those things where I was like, okay, I think, you know, the odds, not the odds, but I mean the likelihood of it probably shows that Nunes wins, you know, based on her other fights we've seen. But I would prefer to see Nunes lose, you know. Unfortunately, you know, that maybe I sound like a hater, but I just kind of got tired of seeing her win every fight, and it's just, and I always love an underdog. I think a lot of people love an underdog, and Pena, just look at this, man. This is what it was, all right? Because everybody's making excuses, and we're not doing that. We're not doing that, and feel free to at me on Twitter if you want to debate this, because we could debate it all day. We are not doing the excuses for Nunes. We are not doing that. I'm sick of this always happening. Every time a champion loses, they always got to come out and say they had a stomach ache or the weight cut was bad. Or they had a fever or something, you know, their shoe was untied before the fight, or they tripped over a cable wire. You know, it's always something that always happens, and they always got to make up something. I would like to see a champion come out and just say, you know what, and this does happen sometimes, but the majority of the time it doesn't. I would have liked to just see Nunes come out and say, you know what, you know, she was the better fighter that night. She won the fight. You know, all props to her. You know, excellent performance, and congratulations. I'll come back better next time. We're going to get back in the gym. We're going to work hard, and I'm going to come back again, and we can run the rematch down the line. Congratulations to her. That's what I would have liked to see, have seen Nunes say, but that is not what you are seeing. You are seeing excuses, and the media excuses, saying, oh, you know, Pena didn't have a great night. Nunes just had it. And it's like, no, that's not what happened. What happened was Nunes is used to bullying these girls and are used to these girls being afraid of her power besides Shevchenko. But all these other girls, used to them being afraid of her power, she's used to coming forward and girls backing up. But what she saw in this fight was Pena was coming forward. Nunes was hitting her with big shots. And Pena was just standing there taking the shots and then throwing counter shots. Nunes is not used to that. She's not used to somebody not backing up when they feel her power. She stood there, took the shot, and then threw counter shots right there and literally just boxed right in front of her. They literally just threw punches back and forth right in front of each other. Nunes is not used to that. And then she got hurt because of it. And then when she went down, I heard that she tapped before the choke was even locked in. So Pena didn't even know that she won the fight because they're saying Nunes tapped before the choke was even locked in. She tapped immediately. So it is what it is, man. That's my moment of the year. And, you know, I have a little tangent right there, but I just get sick of, you know, the excuses from everybody. You know, congratulate the girl, Pena. I think biggest upset of the year by miles, and that's my pick. Congratulations, Juliana Pena, the undisputed women's bantamweight UFC world champion.
All right, the betting odds, I looked them up. The closing odds, Bovada was Nunes -1300, Pena +675. Bet Online had it -1400, Nunes +700, Pena. Intertops had it -1000, Nunes +600, Pena. And Sports Betting had it -1400, Nunes, and +700 for Pena. I mean, you can't go wrong with that fight because of the magnitude of who was fighting. And then when you look at the betting lines, you know, Nunes had basically beaten everybody they put in front of her, basically in dominating fashion. I thought she made a critical mistake in that fight. When she started feeling Pena's power, why are you trading knowing that you can't take shots? I thought she should have tried to take her down, you know, probably to try to use the fighting tactic that she used against Jermaine Durandamore, take her down, pound her, make her carry your weight. But Nunes did something that I was shocked by. Because Pena was hurting her in the stand-up, and then Nunes was throwing wild shots, wild and wide, allowed Pena to really, really eat her up. And then with the I thought the same thing, Keys. I thought Nunes had tapped out before she got the choke in, but Pena barely had the choke in and she tapped out. So she did have a Conor McGregor tap to me. So, but yeah, it was a big night for Juliana Pena, man. I had two fights down because I knew that the Pena, that is the biggest upset. I had two fights. I had Glover Teixeira beating Blachowicz for the light heavyweight title. I had that as one of my upsets. But the one I'm going with is our boy again, man. Me and you was on Twitter talking about this fight because it was so much disrespect being hurled at Charles Oliveira. People were saying that he had no chance against Poirier Poirier was the uncrowned champion coming into the fight. ESPN had Poirier ranked as the number 5 pound-for-pound fighter, had Oliveira number 6. ESPN had Poirier as the number 1 lightweight, had Oliveira number 2, and Oliveira was the champ. So Oliveira came in the fight as a negative 115 betting underdog. Me and you, when we did our predictions of this fight, both of us picked Oliveira to win because of what we've seen in Oliveira's game. The guy has only gotten better. At first he was just a straight submission guy. And then as me and you started really paying attention to him, his hands caught up with his submission. Even though he does take too many shots for me, he can dish them out now. And he's always coming forward. So my biggest upset was Charles Oliveira solidifying himself as the lightweight champion of the world, undisputed. Oliveira has won 10 in a row, tied for the second longest out of streak in the UFC, behind Kamaru Usman, 15 straight. And I posed this question to you the week after this event. A lot of people was online talking about Charles Oliveira probably couldn't beat Khabib. And then I asked you, I said, Keith, what is Khabib's strength? His strength is taking people down, trying to ground a pound and, you know, trying to choke them. What is Charles Oliveira's strength on the mat? I would take Oliveira right now to beat Khabib because he can neutralize Khabib's strength. Khabib would be worried about being submitted by Oliveira either on the top or from the bottom. So time for people to put some respect on Du Bronx's name and respect him as the lightweight champion of the world until somebody dethroned him. And that was my upset of the year for 2021.
Yeah, man, I definitely respect it. Upset of the year, Oliveira over Poirier. Yeah, I definitely respect it. You know, when Khabib beat Gaethje, you know, that was like September 2020, I want to say, maybe October 2020, and then he retired. I was, you know, with a couple of friends watching that fight, and, you know, Khabib's giving a speech, and, you know, they asked me, yo, Keys, like, what do you think there's anybody division that can, you know, do anything with him on the ground? Like, he just kind of takes these guys down and smashes them. Like, is there anybody that is good enough on the ground that can do anything if and when taken down? Anyone that can handle that? And they said, you know, basically they said, who would be, you know, who's the best guy in the division, or who's the second best guy, you know, on the ground? And I said, Charles Oliveira. I said, he's the number 6 ranked guy. I said, you guys probably never heard of him, but you will hear of him soon. He's pretty much like a dark horse in the lightweight division. You know, he's number 6 ranked, so people aren't really talking about him that much yet, but wait till he wins another fight, wait till he wins a big fight. And, you know, he can definitely be the world champion, and he most likely will be the world champion pretty soon. And what happened, you know, soon after that, we found out he was going to fight Tony Ferguson, our other boy, and he pretty much dominated Ferguson. Shout out to Ferguson. But he pretty much dominated Tony. And then, you know, he waited out and he fought for the belt, and now he's the champion. And yeah, I just love to see it. So, you know, I love that he beat Poirier. We called that too. You know, we called that right when the fight was announced, that, you know, everybody was kind of putting shade on Oliveira, like maybe not trying to, but they really were, kind of just saying Poirier was going to run through him, and, you know, this is Poirier's moment, you know, all this, you know, I think he was the favorite to win the fight, and, you know, just basically disrespecting Oliveira. And then, you know, that was such a proud moment for me to see him beat Poirier, because I knew he was going to beat Poirier, and I knew he was a more, you know, complete fighter than Poirier. Like, guys, you know, and actually, when you go back to the picks, I want to say I picked Oliveira to win by fourth round submission, and he won third round submission. So, and I want to say you had him second round submission. I could be wrong, but I think so. And he went right in the middle of our two picks in the third round. But we both were pretty on point with those predictions, I would say. So, yeah, upset of the year, Oliveira, I love to see it.
Yeah, man. You know, and then I think a lot of people overvalue the Poirier wins over Connor, you know, and I think a lot of people forgot how he lost to Khabib. And I think a lot of people forgetting how Gaethje lost to Khabib. And if Khabib can do it to you, Charles Oliveira can damn sure do it to you. So, hey, but jumping into our next category, bro, who is your champion of the year?
Champion of the year. Okay. You know what? I'm actually going to – I feel like I have an idea, and I already kind of do have a pick, but I want to just make sure – I'm going to look at all the champions right now and just – we're just going to gloss over this and make sure everything is understandable. Was Volkanovski Holloway 2 this year?
Hold on, let me look.
I don't know.
I want to say it was early.
That might have been during the pandemic. That might have been 2020. Because I think they fought for the first time in 2019. So that might have been. All right. Well, either way, you know, I'm looking at this now and, you know, I pretty much know I was able to confirm. I got the same pick, but I also have an honorable mention pick that I'm going to make too. I'm going with Charles Oliveira. You know, I said earlier in the show that I figured that wouldn't be the last time that he was mentioned. And, you know, I knew that, you know, he was going to get a lot of praise here. He deserves it. You know, he's probably the most slept on champion there is right now. So, you know, we won't even waste any time, you know, giving him shout outs. So, yeah, Charles Oliveira, he's a champion of the year, man. You know, which of these he won the belt and then defended the belt, which I just don't think there's another champion that has put on better performances. I mean, a lot of people had Kamaru Usman for this pick and for fight of the year. I mean, I disagree with him for both of those picks. And the reason why was because, you know, he fought two rematches, and I'm not really impressed with that, to be honest. Oliveira fought two opponents fresh. Both of them were fresh matchups. Both of them were guys that people were sleeping on him to be able to beat. You know, a lot of people felt like Chandler would smash him. You know, they didn't know who Oliveira was. A lot of people felt like Poirier was going to run through him. They're not really familiar with Oliveira's style and what he brings to the table. So he was doubted a lot this year. And I just feel like he shined a lot. He shined a lot. He shut up a lot of naysayers. And I just don't think there is anybody else. I don't think there's another champion that has put in more work than him and really has really proved themselves more, you know, against the adversity. Honorable mention, if I had to pick, I would go Rose Namajunas. I want to say her fight with Zhang Weili was this year. She KO'd Zhang Weili first round, head knockout via head kick, and then she rematched Zhang Weili and outclassed her, you know, with the wrestling. So she beat somebody that a lot of people thought was just so scary. You know, we don't really know if she's beatable, and she beat her twice. And Rose Namajunas came back big. I mean, when she lost to Andrade, you know, a lot of people were kind of hating on Rose, and then she came back and beat Andrade, and then beat Zhang again, and queen of rematches, if you think about it. I mean, when's the last time Rose took a rematch and lost? I mean, if you really go back, like, she beat Joanna. She dominated Joanna in the rematch, pretty much dominated the fight against Andrade in the rematch, and pretty much dominated the fight against Wilder Zhang in the rematch. So it is what it is. That's my honorable mention. We going Oliveira for the main pick, and we going Rose Namajunas for an honorable mention pick for Champions of the Year.
I can't be mad at that. I can't be mad at that. Rose definitely coming back, reestablishing herself. She's definitely one of my favorite fighters. Recently she said she want to fight Carla Esparza, I think. I think she said she want to fight Carla Esparza, which is definitely a good fight. I want to say they was the first two to compete for the strawweight belt. And I think Esparza ended up coming up on top. So we're going to they're going to run that back. I always thought that she was the better fighter in that division because she could do so many things. I never thought Wally Jane could really hang with her. Wally Jane has good hands, but we never saw her fight from her back. Nobody ever tried to take her down. In the first fight, Namajunas didn't even get a chance to take her down. But in the second fight, she took her down over and over and over again, and Wally Zhang could barely even get back to her feet. Charles Oliveira, enough said about him. The guy had a great year. But it came down to me for when I was thinking about this topic. My champions came down to two people, Bullet Shevchenko, Valentina Shevchenko, and Kamaru Usman. And the reason I'm going with Usman is because he had three title defenses during the year. Bullet had two, although she did dominate her opposition as well. It's just rare that we get to see a champion have three title defenses in 1 year. So he dominated Gilbert Burns, came back and knocked Jorge Masvidal out, which was a return match. And then to finish the year off, he beat Kobe Covington by unanimous decision, dominated him. Kobe did have his moments, but it was just glad to see the champion there three times. Normally, Usman is a guy that after he fights, you'll hear about an injury or something like that. But, he came out and he showed championship medal by fighting three times this year. And old my man Keys, I don't want any more rematches for Usman going into 2022. We need some fresh competition. Although he has fought Leon Edwards before, I think both fighters have gotten better. Both have added to their games. And I think this fight, although it will be a rematch, it'll definitely be a clash of styles of two guys that are really, really good. Vicente Luque, I wouldn't be mad about that fight. And, of course, the UFC is hyping up Khamzat Chimaev. So don't be surprised that if Chimaev can probably piece together two more wins against top five guys, that the UFC will probably put him in there against Usman probably in 2022. But my champion of the year is, man, I got to go with Usman with Valentino Shevchenko coming in as a close second.
Yeah, I respect it. I think Usman definitely put on impressive performances. I'd say one thing that is big to mention about Usman in the year 2021 is he really made, like Charles Oliveira did, he really made the adjustments to his game that he needed to be able to compete with some of these guys. Like Gilbert Burns, he's high level on the mat, but he's also pretty high level on the feet. He's a scary puncher. He's got a lot of power too. We know that. Burns is a versatile fighter, and I think Usman needed, to make those adjustments to his style to beat a guy like that. I think going into that fight, that was good that he was, really sharpening up his sword and getting his boxing, up to par. And then he was able to win that fight. Then he was able to, actually knock out Masvidal in the second fight, a guy that, a lot of people felt like, you know, was the better striker. And, you know, he proved that he's a better striker. And I think he needed to, you know, he started training with Trevor Whitman. And, you know, he really made improvements to his boxing. And I think that was a big thing for Usman this year. Three title defenses, and he really showed us some new things with his game and, you know, became more of a striker too and not just a wrestler. So that, yeah, that Usman had a great year too. But when you come down to the specifics, that's when I get a little bit picky and I have to say, okay, well, you know, three title defenses, but who did he fight? And two or three of those were guys we had already recently seen him beat. So I just had against, you know, a guy like Oliveira who's fighting, you know, two fresh names he's never seen before and guys that he's being highly doubted against. I mean, you look at Usman going into the second Kobe fight. I mean, I don't think there was really any doubt that Usman could beat him again and that would beat him again. And the same thing with the second Masvidal fight. It kind of was like, why are we getting this? Why are we doing this rematch? You know, it seemed like those were kind of two fights that, you know, the fans didn't really want because we felt like we knew he could beat both those guys again. So it really wasn't. I just don't feel like that was. He still had impressive performances, but it would have been better if he. I think it could have been better if it was against fresh competition, and where Oliveira did that. That's why, you know, I couldn't have put Usman, you know, ahead of Oliveira in that category.
Okay, I can respect that. What about Bullet Shevchenko? What you think of her year?
How many title fights did she have? Three?
She had two.
Okay. Shevchenko's right there too. It was just with her is like in the past. I feel like I
already know what you're gonna say.
Basically, you know, it was. I think she almost has like that old school John Jones feel to her now, where it's like, okay, you just kind of expect that she's going to dominate and that she's going to have, like, a couple title defenses. Like, when John Jones was just on a long streak of all, you know, title fight wins, and he was just, like, you know, pretty much dominating everybody, you kind of just expected it. That's kind of how it is with Nunes, too. It's like, Nunes, you pretty much just expect her to beat everybody, and, you know, she's that you know they're already incredible. But I want to say I picked her a couple times. I've had her in our year-end awards in the past couple of years too, so I think that's why this year it was a little different for me. I kind of had to diversify with my pick. Because I definitely show Bullet a lot of love on our show. She had a great year too.
Yeah, we both showed her love. She's definitely, because I want to say in the Lauren Murphy fight, people was talking about, oh, that's the way you beat her. Take her down. No, that's not the way to beat her because she used that against Lauren Murphy and ended up dominating her. So, you know, it's just that she's so much better than the competition. I know my man Keys really don't like double champions, but I wouldn't mind seeing Shevchenko versus Ronaldo Yunes in the year 2022. Let them both get some more title defenses under their belt, and maybe in December 2022 to close the year out, we have champ versus champ. One thing about my champ versus champ fights, I wouldn't mind them being at a catch weight, so that way neither person has to lose their belt, and they're fighting for the spirit of competition and bragging rights. So that's how I would do champ versus champ fights. But look, man, we got to jump into it. This is a big category. Who was your fighter of the year, bro?
Oh, man.
You want me to go first?
I mean, yeah. You can go ahead and go first.
All right, this was probably the easiest category for me. The other ones I had, maybe like two or three people that probably could have won it or I could have gave it to. But this one was so easy. My fighter of the year is Charles Du Bronx Oliveira. He had an impressive year, which actually started in December 2020 when he dominated Tony Ferguson. And then he capped the year off by defeating Dustin Poirier. And in the middle of that, he ended up winning the vacant UFC lightweight title against former Bellator champ Michael Chandler. If you really look at what Charles has done this year, is I want to say at one point in time, it was discussed that he wouldn't fight again until he was fighting for the belt. And me and you was like, man, I really don't agree with that. I think you should get in there and prove your mettle, especially for a guy who prior to beating Tony Ferguson had never won a fight against a name. He had basically lost every fight that he had against somebody that was somebody until he beat Tony Ferguson. And then he used the Tony Ferguson fight to catapult himself into the lightweight title picture. And look what he had now, man. He just beat Dustin Poirier in his first title defense. I want to say in the second quarter of 2022, I think we're going to get Gaethje versus Oliveira. And if you was to ask me now, I'm picking Oliveira to win that fight as well. So my fighter of the year is Charles Du Bronx Oliveira, man. And it was easy.
Okay, so this one for me, I have a couple of different points to make about this because I feel like there's a couple of names. Like, it's almost like I have a couple honorable mentions I want to name, and it's kind of hard to just pick one. I just want to look at one thing. Oh, that's the best. Okay, that's the pound for pound. Yeah, so I pretty much have all my names that I wanna talk about here, but I just want to make sure a couple of my numbers are right. I want to double check, man. I gotta do a little bit more DD. I gotta do a little bit more homework here before I say this.
Oh, well, my honorable mention was Glover Teixeira. He was my honorable mention. Although he only had one fight in 2021, he was my honorable mention, though.
Yeah, I just had to make sure with the dates because I wanted to. One of my honorable mentions is Rob Whitaker. I wanted to just confirm the dates because in my mind, I thought that he had fought three times in 2021, but really, he had a fight summer 2020, then a late 2020 fight with Cannonier, and then he had an April 2021 fight with Gastelum. So I thought those fights were in 2021, but they weren't, so I can't put him for that. But he'll still be an honorable mention because I feel like Rob Whitaker's got the momentum right now, and he's one of those dudes that is – he's still so young, and he's coming back for the belt, bro. He's coming back for the belt, and it is what it is. It's going to happen here soon. You know, the event will be coming up. We'll be talking about it, but – yeah, he's an honorable mention. Even though he had one fight in 2021, he's still on a tear right now. Another fighter I want to make an honorable mention for is Jose Aldo. Man, I gotta make an honorable mention for Jose Aldo. I'm kind of surprised that I didn't hear anybody have him as a fighter of the year because he's had such good performances against such tough guys. Pretty much all guys that you could say, oh, man, I don't know about Aldo in this fight. I mean, he fought Marlon Vera December 2020. So you could basically say that was 2021. Then he fought August 2021, Pedro Munhoz, another guy that is very dangerous. And then fought, one of my boys, Rob Font, another dangerous bantamweight. And he just beat him pretty dominantly and showed us a lot of wrestling. He's wrestling in that fight. We don't really see wrestling from Aldo. So Aldo is still evolving, man. You know, he's another honorable mention. He had two wins in 2021, and this is my last honorable mention before I name my fighter of the year. Let me just make sure my dates are correct on this. Okay, Dominic Cruz had two fights in 2021, this is another guy that I'm kind of surprised that nobody's mentioned, but maybe, you know, he's just one of my favorites, and maybe I'm just, you know, have a little bit of bias there. But, yeah, Dominic Cruz had two wins in 2021. The reason why I want to bring him up, he's not my fighter of the year, but, you know, he's probably – oh, man, he's probably my runner-up for Fighter of the Year, honestly, because of the way he's looked. If you just look at all the performances of these guys, yeah, you say they had wins, you know, they had title fights, but how did they look in the fights? And I say Cruz, to me, has looked unbelievable in 2021. He has looked so good. He had two wins. It's not like he has the most fights or the most wins in 2021, but even with those two fights, you look at the octagon time he put in, he was in there, I want to say, three rounds with Casey Kenney. That was 15 minutes. And then he had another 15 minutes versus Pedro Munhoz, who I believe is top 10 at 135, another beast. And so he put in 30 minutes octagon time, and he looked excellent for probably 25 minutes out of, or maybe even like 28 minutes out of those 30 minutes. He looked excellent, excellent. And he was, Casey Kenney, he pretty much dominated all three rounds. He put on an absolute clinic. He had Casey Kenney shadow boxing in there. And Pedro Munhoz, I want to say I had Pedro win in the first round. Pedro had one or two big knockdowns in the first round. People thought Cruz was out of there. But that was another moment where you had a guy coming back from adversity, you know, just like Oliveira did. You had a guy coming back from adversity, and he came back, and I feel like he clearly won rounds two and three, and it was another case like that where I feel like he had Pedro swinging at air in there. Like, Cruz has really been showing, you know, flashes of his former self. He's of that elusive style where it's like he's so hard to hit, and he's always doing so much when he's moving. It's like, it's amazing. And like, I was thinking the same thing when I just watched Aldo versus Munhoz. Was like, okay, wow, you know, Aldo moved so much. You look at, he's always moving his body, his footwork. He's always moving his feet. That's just like Cruz. Cruz is always switching stance. He's always bouncing around. He's never stagnant. You know, him and Aldo kind of both have that. Like, they're a little, they are different, but they do have some similarities in the way that they are in their stand-up. And, you know, it's incredible to watch. Both of them have been incredible to watch. So I think, yeah, Oliveira, I don't know, man. I don't even know if I have a pick, bro. I think I'm just shouting out everybody. I think I'm just shouting out everybody. All these names. Whoops. You know Oliveira's,
okay. I'm gonna go ahead and do this. Keys, who is your fighter of the year?
I think I gotta go Charles Oliveira because of the fact he had two title fights and the level at which he was doing these things. He's fighting the best guys. You know, Michael Chandler was, you know, one of the best guys at Bellator. Dustin Poirier, people were saying uncrowned champ, the best lightweight in the world. You know, at the level he was doing it, incredible. So Charles Oliveira, you know, coming from the dark horse, you know, part of the standing in the division to be an undisputed champion and, you know, about to fight with Gaethje. Yeah, fighter of the year. And then, you know, my very close is Dom Cruz. Dom Cruz, very close second. I could even have him as my fighter of the year. If he had, like, one more win, I probably would have him as my fighter of the year just because of how good he looked. Like in minute to minute in the fight. But yeah, him and Aldo. So I'd go Oliveira, fight of the year, and then very close second and third, Dom Cruz and Jose Aldo.
Okay. Okay, real quick. You don't have to go into it. Do you have your knockout of the year?
Honestly, I didn't even do much homework on that one. I can't even think of a knockout.
Okay. Well,
I mean, feel free to get yours. I might think of one when you say yours.
I took Jiří Procházka over Dominique Reyes. That was my knockout of the year, man. that back spinning elbow. Oh my goodness. He face planted Reyes, man. And he was already beating him up. But that spinning back elbow, man, that was icing on the cake, man. And for Shaka, he only fought once in 2021. And babe, boy, did he put on a performance in that one fight. So I had him as my knockout of the year.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I do have a knockout of the year. I almost forgot. So my knockout of the year is actually not from the UFC. It's from Bellator. My knockout of the year is Sergio Pettis, bro. You seen that knockout? He just fought Kyoji Horiguchi.
Yeah.
He just fought.
That was a spinning back kick.
Yeah, so I want to say they had Horiguchi as the favorite in that fight, and Sergio Pettis is the world champion. I think that's either flyweight or bantamweight. I don't know how the division's going.
Bantamweight.
But just the way – I didn't see the whole fight, but just the fact that that was like – I want to say it was a fourth-round knockout. Just the fact they fought almost 20 minutes to that point, and then the way that it landed, it almost looked like Sergio, I don't even know if he knew that he was going to land that. Like, I think he just, it seemed like he definitely drilled it, and they planned to have that ready at some point. That weapon was there, but I just, and he unleashed it at that time. I just don't know if he knew he was going to land it right there. He tried it, but I don't know if he knew he was going to land it. And if you look at the way that it did land, it almost seemed like it didn't land flush. It almost seemed like it, when you look at the replay, it almost skimmed Horiguchi. Like, it was almost like it was close to not landing, but it did. He just landed it. It was like almost like it was the perfect timing for Sergio Pettis to throw that. Because, like, maybe if Kyoji was like a second behind, second ahead of where he was, you know, maybe he would have been, you know, Sergio might have been just out of reach, and maybe it would have missed. But he was just there, and that he was just caught him. And I just think that was such an incredible moment. So yeah, that's my knockout of the year for him. Congrats to Sergio Pettis. That was awesome, man. That was really awesome. I'm glad to see he's a champion. I'm really glad to see that.
And the crazy part was he was losing that fight. Horiguchi was actually dominating him in that fight. So if that fight would have went to the scorecards, he would have lost. But yeah, that spinning back fist knockout was nasty. And this is this came from a guy that was fighting at 135 in the UFC and could barely win at 135 in the UFC. And now he's at 135 in Bellator, and he's the champ. So yeah, man, shout out to Sergio Garcia, Sergio Pettis, man. Well, we gave you guys all awards: Fight of the Year, Champion of the Year, Moment of the Year, Fighter of the Year, Knockout of the Year. So actually, I'm about to put my awards on Twitter here in a minute. You know, just to see what people got to say. It's always good to see what people got to say. But, you know, 2021, man, was a good year in the UFC. It was a good year for Lee and Keith's Real Talk podcast. We definitely have gave you guys a lot of shows this year. I want to do something different next year. Me and Keith will probably talk. I want to see whether or not we could jump on Twitch next year, man, see how that'll go, and we'll still do this. You know, we'll probably try to do it simultaneously on Twitch and Blog Talk, you know, but me and Keith will sit down and talk, see what we want to do. But thank you guys for supporting us this year. We'll be back bigger and better next year, still giving you guys these fire takes, having these fire shows, giving you guys our opinions. If you've been with us since day one, you notice that we've got a lot better with our knowledge, with the way our show flows. And, you know, I want to send a shout out to my co-host, man, and my partner, Keys. Happy New Year, bro. And you got any last words for the people?
Nah, I mean, I'll probably say that, you know, it was definitely a great year. Shout out to, you know, shout out to anybody who listened to our show in 2021. You know, 2021 was a good year. There was a lot of, we had a lot of, you know, great, we put up a lot of great minutes on the show and a lot of great hours, a lot of funny moments, and a lot of great breakdowns, just overall good times on the show. So shout out to everybody who has ever listened to our show, everybody and anybody who has listened to our show or hit us up on Twitter. You know, I love that. I love Twitter, and I love, you know, chopping it up with people on there. So that's definitely dope. And, you know, I have, we may have a Monday show starting pretty soon. I'm going to talk with Lee about, you know, Twitch and Blog Talk plans for 2022 for for this show on Wednesdays. But also, you know, we may be starting a Monday show. I'll put some stuff out about that on our Twitter. You know, that show will be about, you know, more, will be about general topics, you know, motivation, purpose, love, you know, passion, whatever you're working on, you know, just a lot of different ideologies on there, different philosophies will be talked about on there, and you know, general topics, and yeah, we'll try to see what we can do with that, you know, that'll be happening. Me and my boy Jonathan, you know, I'll the three of us will be talking, you know, pretty soon, and yeah, we'll probably be getting that one going, probably do a Monday night show. But I'll put more about that on our Twitter anyways. So I just wanted to put that out there, that will be a thing in the very near future. And, yeah, 2021 was a really great year. Appreciate everybody. And shout out to you, Lee. You know, a lot of great times talking on the show with you. And, yeah, that's pretty much all I got.
Yeah, man. Like I said, man, I can't wait to hear what you and Jonathan gonna cook up. I'm definitely going to interested in that. I'll probably jump on and listen to the first show, man, and see exactly what you guys bring to the people. I'm excited about that. You know, like always, Lee and Keys, positive people with positive energy, your positive results. I got to come up with something new for 2022 because I've been saying that for all of 2021. So I'll come up with something new for 2022. And as always, we always end the show with a peace. Everybody have a good